And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is January 21st. 21st day of the year. 344 days remain till the year's over with. Just saw Louis Anderson died. A lot of my generation of actors and comics and what have you are dying. On this day in 763, following the Battle of Bakhamra between Alids and Abbasids near Kufa, the Alid rebellion ends with the death of Ibrahim, brother of Isa ibn Musa. 1525, the Swiss Anabaptist movement is founded with Conrad Grebel, Felix Manz, George Blaurock, and about a dozen other baptize each other in the home of Manz's mother in Zurich, breaking a thousand-year tradition of church-state union. In 1535, following the Affair of the Placards, the French king leads an anti-Protestant procession through Paris. When the king is after you, you got a problem. 1720, Sweden and Prussia signed the Treaty of Stockholm. 1749, the Teatro Filarmonico in Verona is destroyed by fire as a result of a torch being left behind in the box of a nobleman after a performance. It's rebuilt in 1754. What if that nobleman had to cough up some money? 1774, Abu Hamid I becomes Sultan of the Umayyad Empire and Caliph of Islam. Now talk about a joining of church and state. 1789, the first American novel, The Power of Sympathy or The Triumph of Nature, founded in truth by William Brown, is printed in Boston. 1793, after being found guilty of treason by the French National Convention, Louis XVI of France is executed by guillotine, along with Marie Antoinette and a whole bunch of other folks. 1854, the RMS Taylor sinks off Lambie Island on her maiden voyage from Liverpool to Australia with a great loss of life. 1861, American Civil War. Jefferson Davis resigns from the U.S. Senate to become president of the Confederacy. 1893, Tati Concessions land, formerly a part of Mataba land, or formerly annexed to Bakunin land, a protectorate, now Botswana. 1908, New York City passes the Sullivan Ordinance, making it illegal for women to smoke in public, only to have the measure vetoed by the mayor. Yes, we can't have our little women smoking. 1911, the last Monte Carlo rally takes place. Excuse me, the first Monte Carlo rally takes place. 1915, Kiwanis International is founded in Detroit. 1919, a revolutionary Irish parliament is founded and declares the independence of the Irish Republic. One of the first engagements of the Irish War of Independence takes place on this date as well. 1925, Albania declares itself a republic. Before that, it was a kingdom. 1931, Sir Isaacs is sworn in as the first Australian-born Governor General of Australia. 1932, Finland and the Soviet Union sign a non-aggression treaty. 1941, sparked by the murder of a German officer in Bucharest, Romania, the day before, members of the Iron Guard engaged in a rebellion and pogrom, killing 125 Jews because they all knew that it had to be Jews that killed the Nazi officer. 1948, the flag of Quebec is adopted and flown for the first time over the National Assembly of Quebec. Day is marked annually as Quebec Flag Day. 1950, American lawyer and government official Alger Hiss is convicted of perjury. 1954, the first nuclear-powered submarine, USS Nautilus, is launched in Groton, Connecticut, by Mamie Eisenhower, the First Lady of the U.S. Gunn, who was on a number of the shows, tells the story that his father took him to meet J. Edgar Hoover, who was wearing a wet dress, and he thought it was Mamie Eisenhower. 1960, little Joe 1B, Mercury spacecraft, lifts off from Waltrip's Island in Virginia with Miss Sam, a female rhesus monkey, on board. 1960, Avianca Flight 671 crashes in Montego Bay, Jamaica Airport, kills 37 people. 1960, a coal mine collapses at Holly, country, South Africa, killing 435 miners. 1968, Vietnam War, Battle of Khe San, one of the most publicized and controversial battles of the war, begins on this date. 1968, a B-52 bomber crashes near Toul Air Force Base, contaminating the area after its nuclear payload ruptures. One of the four bombs remains unaccounted for after the cleanup operation is completed. So you got to ask yourself, who had the means, motive, and opportunity to steal a nuclear weapon? 1671, the current Emily Moore Transmitting Station, the tallest freestanding structure in the UK, begins transmitting UHF broadcast. 1976, commercial service of Concorde begins with the London, Bahrain, and Paris, Rio routes. 1980, Ryanair Flight 291 crashes in the Alborz Mountains while on approach to Mehrabad International Airport in Tehran. Kills 128 people. 1981, production of the iconic DeLorean sports car begins in Dunmurry, Northern Ireland, in the UK. 1985, Galaxy Airlines Flight 203 crashes near Reno Tahoe International Airport, Reno, Nevada. 70 people are killed. 1997, U.S. House of Representatives votes 395-28 to reprimand Newt Gingrich for ethics violations, making him the first Speaker of the House to be so disciplined. Of course, the one we got now needs to be examined thoroughly. 1999, War on Drugs. One of the largest drug busts in American history, the U.S. Coast Guard intercepts a ship with over 4,300 kilograms, that's 9,500 pounds, of cocaine on board. 2000, Ecuador. After the Ecuadorian Congress is seized by indigenous organizations, Colonel Lucio Gutierrez, Carlos Solo Razano, and Antonio Vargas depose President Jamil Mahud. Gutierrez is later replaced by General Carlos Mendoza, who resigns and allows Vice President Gustavo Noboa to succeed Mahud. 2003, a 7.6 magnitude earthquake strikes the Mexican state of Colima. Kills 29, leaves about 10,000 homeless. 2004, NASA's MIR-4, the Mars rover Spirit, ceases communication mission control. Problem lies in the management of its flash memories fixed remotely from Earth on February 6th. 2005, in Belmopan, Belize, the unrest over the government's new taxes erupts into riots. 2009, Israel withdraws from the Gaza Strip, officially ending a three-week war it had with Hamas. However, intermittent fire by both sides continues in the weeks to follow. 2011, anti-government demonstrations take place in Tirana, Albania. Four people are killed from gunshots allegedly fired from armed police protecting the Prime Minister's office. 2014, Rojava conflict. The Jazeera Canton declares its autonomy from the Syrian Arab Republic. 2017, over 400 cities across America and 160 counties worldwide participate in large-scale women's marches on Donald Trump's first full day as president of the U.S. And in 2018, Rocket Lab's Electron becomes the first rocket to reach orbit using electric pump fed engine and deploys 3 CubeSats. Well, it's interesting to note that no matter how bad any other president is or has been, they're still pointing at Trump as the cause of various problems. Alrighty. What is going on here? There we go. Holidays observances. Babandin in Bulgaria and Serbia. Birthday of Princess Ingrid Alexandra in Norway. Christian Feast Day, Agnes. Damiana in the Coptic Church. Fructuosus. John Yi Yoon Il, one of the Korean martyrs. Mainred of Einsiedeln. Errol Barrow Day in Barbados. Flag Day in Quebec. Grandmother's Day in Poland. Lady of Alta Gracia Day in the Dominican Republic. And Lincoln Alexander Day in Canada. Now, who Lincoln Alexander is, I have no clue. There's nothing that tells me. Okay, there we go. Finally. 1077, German King Henry IV asked Pope Gregory VII for his forgiveness. Now, Henry IV was a Holy Roman Emperor. And the Pope, being God's agent, was entitled to take that position. 1276, French Cardinal Pierre de Tarantese, elected head of the Catholic Church, takes the name Pope Innocent V, and he certainly was not innocent. None of them were. 1287, the Treaty of San Nicias is signed. Menorca is conquered by King Alphonse III of Aragon. 1324, Zen Buddhist religious debate between Tendai and Shingon. 1522, head inquisitor Adrian Ferriz Boyens is elected pope. You know, until just a few years ago, the Catholic Church still had an office of the Inquisition. 1525, the Swiss Anabaptist movement's born when I talked about that. Conrad Grebel, Felix Manz, and George Bolerock, and a dozen others baptized each other. 1542, English Parliament passes a bill of attainder against Queen Catherine Howard. 1549, Act of Uniformity passed, but English Parliament requires clergy use the Book of Common Prayer. 1664, Count Miklos of Zarin sets out to battle a Turkish invasion army. 1677, the first medical publication in America was published in Boston. It was a pamphlet about smallpox. 1720, Sweden and Prussia sign a peace treaty ending hostilities between them during the Great Northern War. 1793, Prussia and Russia sign a partition treaty dividing up Poland. 1813, the first reference to pineapple cultivation in Hawaii was in a diary entry by Francisco de Paula Marin. 1813, also, Spaniard Don Francisco de Paula y Marin plants coffee in Hawaii. That was the first record of coffee growing in Hawaii. 1818, Keats writes his poem on a lock of Milton's hair. If you can't think of a thing to write about, hair's good. 1821, Paramaribo, Suriname catches fire. 4 people die. 1846, the first edition of Charles Dickens' newspaper, The Daily News, is published on this date. 1863, the city of Dublin leases part of the cattle market for 100,000 years. 1864, the Tauranga campaign of the New Zealand Wars begins. 1880. Well, my system just decided it was going to do something else other than cooperate in doing this. That's the only drawback I have found to using computers in this show. Well, it went to something else and said, oops, sorry. The first U.S. sewage disposal system separate from the storm drains is used in Memphis, Tennessee. 1890, the first issue of Propria Curis, Amsterdam Student Weekly newspapers, published on this date. 1899, Opel manufactures its first automobile on this date. 1900, the second contingent of Canadian troops sails from Halifax to fight in South Africa against the Boers. 1903, Harry Houdini escapes from Abemansdijk police station in Amsterdam. 1903, International Theater in Majestic Park opens at 5 Columbus Circle in New York City. 1910, there was a British-Russian military intervention in Persia. 1921, the Italian Communist Party was founded at Livorno by Amedeo Bordiga and Antonio Gramsci. 1921, on this date, British crime writer Agatha Christie publishes her first novel, The Mysterious Affair at Styles, introducing the character of Hercule Poirot. 1924, Vladimir Lenin's last will and testaments given to the Communist Party. It calls for changes to the Soviet governing structure and criticizes Stalin, Trotsky, and a number of other members. The main problem I have with Trotsky is he needs a haircut. 1926, the Belgian Parliament accepts the Locarno Treaties. 1927, the first national opera is broadcast from a U.S. opera house. It was Faust. It came from Chicago. 1934, Parisian baker and student of medieval life, Henri Leterre, appears in court. The charge was forcing his adulterous wife to wear a chastity belt. Now, he had committed that same offense in 1932, so he got 3 months in prison and was fined 50 francs for cruelty to his wife. Of course, since she was adulterous. 1935, the Wilderness Society is founded by a conservationist. 1938, the Dutch government starts obligatory unemployment insurance. 1941, in Bulgaria, the first anti-Jewish measures were put into effect. 1941. See what is causing such an upset. I'm sure the microphone is picking up the fact that my guard dogs are going nuts. Security cameras show nothing. The 1941, the first commercial extraction of magnesium from seawater took place in Freeport, Texas. Australian and British troops in 41 also attacked Tobruk in Libya. The British, 1941, the British communist newspaper, The Daily Worker, is banned. 1942, a Bronx magistrate rules all pinball machines are illegal. Some of my earliest memories are playing pinball machines. In 1943, Soviet forces reconquer Rurjewski. Also in 43, Soviet forces reconquer Gumrik Airport near Stalingrad. In 43, Admiral Sir Andrew Cunningham in the Royal Navy is promoted to Admiral of the Fleet. Only one above him was Lord of the Admiralty. 1944, 447 German bombers attack London. In 1944, 649 British bombers attack Magdeburg. 1945, British troops land near Ramri, near the coast of Burma. 1952, Nehru's Congress Party wins a general election in India. He became the first Prime Minister of India. 1952, William Shawn succeeds Harold Ross as editor of The New Yorker. 1954, the first gas turbine automobiles exhibited in New York City. 1960, a rock fall traps 437 at Colebrook in South Africa. Of the 437, 417 die of methane poisoning. 1969, a partial meltdown at the Lucens nuclear reactor in Switzerland contaminated the cavern containing the reactor. As a result, the plant was sealed and decommissioned. 1970, let's see if there's anything else. Norman Strong and his son James, both former Ulster Unionist members of Parliament, are assassinated by the Irish Republican Army at their home in Tynan Abbey. And then they burned the house down. Well, on this day, a lot of things happened. And something has everyone terribly upset. I can hear the barking, even in my studio, which is allegedly soundproof. Okay, let us now go to mm-hmm. All right. Come on. We've been talking about missing persons. And a lot of strange happenings. And I'm going to talk about some more as soon as I had it and it went away. There we go. Well, it would seem that there's a number of people who claimed to be time travelers and coming from other realms. And in this particular case, the man in question lives and works on one of the San Juan Islands. That's an archipelago between the U.S. and Vancouver, Canada. And he wrote a letter. And he said, a lot of strange things are reported on coast to coast, a show that I've been on a number of times. And he said, I was compelled to write when he heard the speaker that he wrote to on Coast to Coast AM. He said his story is similar. He felt you'd want to hear it. He had not heard of any of the books this particular speaker wrote, and having had to work a lot of this out on his own, he came to a few conclusions he wanted to share. Now, the events that he was talking about, he said, happened to him about a year and a half ago. And the effects lasted for months and then subsided. His troubles began when he absentmindedly walked around the outside of a large fairy ring of mushrooms on a small island in the Pacific. He's talking on his iPhone at the time, but wasn't aware of where his feet were going. And suddenly he felt weak, as if he had run a great distance. He said, as a matter of practice, he never steps into or crosses a fairy ring. Being of Celtic, Indian extraction, he has a great deal of respect for the warnings from both sides of his ancestry about this. He said his legs were numb, like they were frozen. Strange, inexplicable things started happening almost immediately. Sound became muffled, as happens when sailing in a deep fog. He got dizzy and confused and had a feeling of imbalance, of no longer being connected to his surroundings. Went home, went to bed. When he woke up a few hours later, he was bewildered. He didn't know where he was. Even though it was in his own home, it seemed alien to him, like he no longer belonged there. He made it through the first day and went through the motions, and then immediately went into a deep sleep. In the morning, he still felt profoundly off, but he had a life to live and forced himself to go to work with a client. Came home in mid-afternoon, recalled there was a new industrial park near town that he wanted to check out. Where he had his business, he was at the end of his lease and wanted to relocate. So he went into the industrial park and was surprised to see what looked like a modern-sized smoke, glass, and steel government office complex had just been built. About a dozen workmen were still on site, and a couple of specialty electrician panel trucks were visible. He said he drove most of the way around the complex and then had to turn around. At this point, he got out of the car and went up to a man who looked to be the foreman. Asked him if there were any suites still to be available to rent. He said he didn't know and that he wasn't supposed to be there and he needed to leave. Well, he got back in his car and said he'd come back later when the park was open for business. Well, he came back a couple of weeks later, drove into the park, and stopped in total shock. The smoke, glass, and steel office complex he'd visited just a few weeks earlier was no longer there. In its place was a small building that housed a fitness center and a few other small businesses. He was absolutely bewildered. So he told his friend about it, and he'd been an investigative reporter, and the reporter went to where he had seen the complex with his daughter and witnessed paramilitary soldiers on guard on either side of the access road. When he rounded the bend, the soldiers had literally morphed into black plastic-wrapped objects. Now, a few days later, the man telling the story, still feeling disoriented, walked by an empty, dark storefront that had housed Sea Shepherd, the defender of the oceans. Now, when he'd gone by the day before, it was fully occupied. He mentioned to a woman friend of his that Sea Shepherd had moved overnight, and her husband had been one of the original Sea Shepherd captains, so she knew all about the recent doings of the organization, but certainly hadn't moved. Next day, he went back to that location, and Sea Shepherd was open for business. Well, a month goes by. He's walking by the Sea Shepherd storefront. Looked over and saw it was empty. Month after he had seen it empty before. A few weeks later, something terrible showed up on his property, and it was chasing a feral cat, which was hunkered down in the grass. He said he interfered and allowed the cat to make it safely to the bushes. The creature he faced was very aggressive and swooped at him, red eyes in the flashlight he was carrying. So he ran to this travel trailer and slammed the door. And this creature landed on the roof of his trailer so hard it made it rock. It resembled an owl, seems at least two or three times the size of a great horned owl. And it roared. It didn't shriek like a bird of prey. It roared like a lion. Well, they came back a couple of weeks later and tore apart a feral cat while he stood about 20 feet away in the dark. It was the same cat he thought he'd rescued a number of weeks before. Then the owl thing dove into the bushes and hid. And they carried on what he referred to as a growling match. Until he chickened out. Well, from all this, all he could determine was he perhaps had crossed into a fairy ring when the mushrooms were the size of dinner plates, and that's a mistake. He got dislocated in time and space and took about a month to wear off. And apparently he visited two alternative timelines. He even got a picture of the abandoned Sea Shepherd storefront at a time when Sea Shepherd assures him they were still in operation. Dangerous, very large owl-like creature showed up next to his house. It came after him and acted in ways that defy explanation. The ferry landing was militarized with the latest hardware, including a DHS X-ray mobile scanner. Department of Homeland Security rented the largest office building in town, began rebuilding it into a garrison with bulletproof glass, thick metal walls, detention facilities, despite universal public outcry. The local airport's undergone massive renovations. They're going to put another $27 million into it from the federal government. Military hardware has been reported to show up on the island at night. A friend of his saw 14 black light armored vehicles driving a convoy from the ferry landing in the direction of the airport, where massive hangars have been built, and they're in the process of building more. The year before he wrote this, San Juan County, his home, was declared to be a national monument. Then there's an NSA listening post that's been set up. And finally, a friend of his, and who had been in intelligence, had heard of a top-secret program using interdimensional field generators that can create an artificial time well, where personnel equipment, even whole building complexes, can be concealed. Other buildings can coexist in the same space, but in different vibrational densities. And he thinks he was probably caught up in that. Well, if what he says is true, then that gives a whole new explanation to a lot of the strange things that have happened. Now, Alan J. Hynek got a report back in the late 60s of a strange experience that happened to a miner in a remote part of northern Canada, up in the Coppermine Mountains. Two miners had gone prospecting. They usually separated and searched different areas. They'd been there about 2 months when one day the first miner came back to the tent before the other and, while waiting for his friend, decided to take a short walk to the edge of a small cliff nearby. He said he immediately noticed a kind of fog engulfing that small cliff, and curiously, he approached it because he descended it and found a gouge just a few feet wide but large enough to get into. Well, he felt a little nervous about it, but had decided to go inside that gouge and investigate. To him, it looked like an area had been mined previously, could certainly contain some of the minerals he was looking for. And immediately he noticed several strange-looking stones he didn't recognize despite his mining experience. 2 steps inside the mist, and his vision was limited, but he saw a grassy field. And the more he walked toward it, the higher the grass got. As he continued, the grass that was 3 feet tall was now 4 feet tall. His vision widened, and far off to the right was an oasis with trees growing in a circle. At this point, he decided to retreat. He couldn't remember the sky. He thought it might have been gray-colored. His mind went completely blank apart from a small piece fighting a takeover of my brain, and I warned myself not to walk in the grass. So he dropped to his hands and knees to get out of there. Now, for a number of years, never told anybody what happened to him. He often thought about it. He couldn't shake the impression he had somehow gone into another dimension of reality. And he wondered about the strange stones he'd seen in the gorge and subsequently contacted the SETI Institute as well as Dr. Hynek. Search of some kind of explanation, though none was easy to come by. Now, Michael Graham of the Riverdale Review has written about several incidents of apparent altered dimensions or time slips. In the 70s, while touring the Lake District in Cumbria, he heard a story about some hill walkers who spent the night at a nearby inn, but were later told they couldn't possibly have done so because that inn was submerged by a reservoir for over 100 years. Then there's this story of about 2 women who set out to walk a few familiar miles one night to a nearby village only to find themselves in an eerie, unfamiliar landscape. You know, it's hard to come up with an explanation, he said, especially when the experience is shared. He said he had personally experienced a similar thing. He dismissed it as an aberration of the mind at the time, but the more he thought about it, he said he was driving from Windermere to Coniston. To get there, you got to turn at a very obvious junction, but the junction wasn't there. The map told him there was a junction. He guessed he'd driven past it, turned around, went back, and still didn't find the junction, just hedgerows and fields. Eventually pulled over, and he was certainly confused and tried to tell himself to pull himself together. It was no good that day. The junction didn't exist. You had to get there by taking a detour. Now, situated off the south coast of England is the picturesque Isle of Wight, W-I-G-H-T, an island of 25 miles long by 13 miles wide. It's home of rock festivals that once saw the likes of Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. It's also the birthplace of ex-SES soldier Bear Grylls and now the home of David Icke, he who says the Queen is a shape-shifting alien. The island's got a reputation as being the most haunted island in the world. Due, it said, to the disproportionately high number of ley lines that crisscross the land. And where the lines cross intersect, power points are said to create an energy vortex. I went to a vortex in Nevada. Quite an interesting experience. There are stories of ghost sightings, time slips, alternate dimensions, with tales from locals of seeing highwaymen being led to Hangman's Hill and 19th century smugglers and pirates seen scaling cliffs in front of startled late-night fishermen. People find themselves on strange paths they've never seen before, despite having lived there all their lives. Of the many stories, one such example is told by local journalist Gay Baldwin, was told to local journalist Gay Baldwin by Michael and Nolene Sleet, who were staying on the island for a holiday in June of 1999. They said it was a warm, sunny day, and the couple strolled down a country lane on their way to a park. They saw a large Victorian house surrounded by long lawns where a group of children were playing with what looked like a football. They were standing in a ring, and on the floor were a pile of school bags and some old-fashioned hockey sticks. One of the young men was wearing antiquated breeches, and the girl beside him had an old-fashioned gym slip. There was another child, a chubby little boy. He was wearing a bright yellow shirt. Well, the couple said they could hear the noise coming from the children, but they couldn't make out any words. Curiously, though the ball was being kicked, it didn't appear to go anywhere. Like watching a video constantly being replayed. Well, they never quite experienced anything like it, they said, and they walked on down the lane and saw two men with a very old-fashioned car, but even though they said good morning to them, the two men didn't seem to hear them. They got to the park, spent a couple of hours there, and as they were going back past the old house, they were surprised to see the children are still there. They hadn't moved at all. The woman looked at her husband and said, "That's odd." And just as he turned to look, the children vanished, as if somebody had turned off a TV. Well, they were so startled by the experience, they hurried away up the lane. They wanted to be anywhere but there. They didn't know what they witnessed, whether it was a moment from the past or actually slipped momentarily back in time. Whatever it was, they didn't want to go through it again. Now, there was another story that related the history of Duver Church on the east side of the island at St. Helens. And it was at that location in the 14th century a monk by the name of Imo defied excommunication, continued to conduct devil worship. Satanic rites were performed on the altar with a coven of black witches in attendance. Well, that church eventually fell into disrepair. And as it happened in many parts of the island due to erosion, it gradually washed away into the sea. 1784, though, workmen from the mainland arrived to fortify what was still left of the church steeple. As they started to work, the foreman of the group was startled when he came across an old man up in the tower. The foreman called his men to come and look, because he was shocked that anybody would risk being up there. The old man appeared to be angry at their intrusion and cursed the workmen, telling them they'd suffered the same fate as the previous laborers who'd come to do the job. You know, the workmen thought it was a silly joke. But when the time came for them to go back to the mainland, they set sail for Portsmouth and vanished. Well, not only are ley lines thought to be the cause of ghost apparitions and other paranormal incidents, but residents of the island, David Icke claims, that because of the concentration of these powerful energy ley lines, the island is home to a determined presence of occultists who seek to use these lines for their own agenda. According to him, Satanists manipulate this strong energy field under a greater form of density. While they see everything as physical, the energy construct is the place where everything originates. And that's why the elite spends so much time manipulating the energy. Because if you want to affect all the fish, you need to affect the energy sea in which we all live. And this repetition of ritual practices over time left very strong impressions. Occultists work to keep this energy grid suppressed at these critical intersections by ritual. Now, satanic rituals are performed on these lines, and the islands are particularly powerful energetic in this energy because they're surrounded by water, which is itself an excellent collector and conductor of energy. According to David Icke, arrangements are made for negative buildings to be deliberately sited on these places of power, such as nuclear energy stations and prisons, as well as satanic lodges. And this is done in order to manipulate and negatively charge these energy flows. Now, you might think this sounds a little overdramatic, but consider researcher David Gowan, said to be an authority on ley lines. According to him, the world's ley lines have been used by secret societies for thousands of years. He believes that they who harness this ancient power now are able to control humanity by manipulating this energy system to meet their own agenda. Now, Cowan, now published by David Hatcher Childress, who I've known for a good length of time, believes both white and black energy spirals emanate from the earth in certain places, with natural white energy spiraling upward and black energy spirals the other way and is extremely harmful. These can be naturally occurring or deliberately blackened energy made so by occultists. According to Gowan, he claims to have helped heal people suffering illnesses ranging from fatigue syndrome, heart problems, MS, epilepsy, motor neuron disease by identifying black energy spirals close to where they reside. He cites cases of poltergeists and demonic possessions that he's investigated as being caused by entities manifesting and manipulating this black energy. Using it, they can enter our own dimension. Users are studying these ley lines routes as natural sources of power, which were once used as a tool for healing, has led him to discover that there had been a deliberate occult manipulation of these power sources, turning them into blackened energy lines that are used instead for evil purposes by garnering and enhancing their power to serve a cabal of dark worshippers. In his opinion, some of these ley lines have been man-made and set with deliberate intention on a certain path to negatively influenced locations, including the ancient stones across the world. He believes that as the ley lines travel, they pass through water and lakes and crevices and cavities in the land. They can be captured in these cavities and energy harnessed there. These cavities can be ancient stones or buildings, such as temples or churches. Constructive cavity can pull the energy into it from the ley line, trapping it and enhancing it, and this can be made into black energy spirals. Now keep in mind, if you will, that even today, churches and temples are built on what were considered ancient holy sites going back thousands of years. Just as the natural white energy of the ley lines are positive and healing, the black man-made occult ones are negative and destructive to those who encounter them. If energy grids or pure black energy were created and crisscross a region, it's reason that negative actions and behaviors can be caused by this energy. And so the theory goes, these negative energy grids have been put in place by the destructive elite who wish to subliminally control the population. Now, according to various claims, his book was immediately and mysteriously withdrawn from publication the same day it was released. Believers in his work and conspiracy theorists alike speculated this man was getting too close to exposing the truth about the secret elite societies using this energy. So was his book instantly pulled by pressure from those who controlled the puppet strings in order to keep this ancient occult knowledge to themselves? Some of them claim to have charted a straight ley line running from Stonehenge to Sandy Hook School and state that satanic sacrificial ritual was the motive for the massacre at that Connecticut school. One's Fernando Tognola, the 9/11 Truth website. Explanations of the precise geographic charting and numeric calculations required to chart this are difficult to understand for a layman, but it makes for some compelling reading as you try to understand it. Suffice it to say, there are many who are able to understand the intricacies of the charting and make claims to its accuracy, and they cite it as proof that the secret groups that seek to control society through a demonic agenda are always carrying out such atrocities and attempts to harness and grow the power they feed through such rituals. There was a writer by the name of Preston James. He's a PhD. He also expressed a feeling that the children are kidnapped for a human satanic sacrifice. He points to historic uncoverings of the organization known as the Finders and the Franklin cover-up as valid evidence of the possibility of such things really happening. But at this point, you have to ask, is this taking a theory too far? And surely if the children are indeed sacrificed, it's counter to the argument of many who feel that the alleged conspiracy was orchestrated as a false flag hoax. Mark Patrick Gibbons spent over 20 years researching ley lines, UFOs, and the paranormal, specifically looking into latter years at the correlation between UFO sightings and the location of ley lines. A lot of these phenomena happen over areas that are saturated in ley lines. He said he thought it was just a coincidence at first, then he collected and analyzed the data. Over 95% of his reports of activity and sightings had all occurred on these ley lines or close to them. You know, talking about kidnapped children, a number of years ago I had somebody who, as far as I know, was sane. explained to me that in tunnels underneath quite a lot of military bases, you'll find hundreds of skeletons of missing children who've been killed. You have to ask yourself, why are they being killed? Going back to Gibbons, in control tests, he used psychics without any knowledge of the location of these sightings or the phenomena without telling him what he's looking for. He said they found the spots and even gave him detailed descriptions of the entities that witnesses reported as having appeared at the ley line areas. The abduction cases matched the ley lines. He mapped it out, and he believes now there's a strong possibility this phenomenon is drawn to him like a magnet draws things to it. Specifically, he found that the abductions that were taking place at the ley lines that had been blackened by the occultist. In Alan Godfrey's case, I talked about that earlier. The policeman, he was the policeman who experienced missing time and was abducted shortly after he'd found a man's body dropped into a coal pile with strange burn marks. Godfrey's abduction was on a blackened ley line, according to witness accounts of villagers who'd lived there for many years, attesting to local occult practices being routinely carried out at those locations. Now, the opposite seems to be the case in regard to lines that haven't been interfered with. There are cases of contactees having positive experiences, and indeed, many people who visit positive lines in ancient stone places often find release from illnesses and medical conditions such as arthritis and chronic pain due to the positive energy that comes from those lines that flows through their bodies. Others have been reported negative feelings such as depression and sudden anger. And when they checked, they later discovered they had been at deliberately blackened ley lines. So the question is, do ley lines give off negative energy? In places that have seen black magic rituals carried out the ley lines, certainly it's been determined that negative energy flows. There's some who say a powerful ley line runs through the Sierra Nevada through Yosemite Park and Joshua Tree and Mount Shasta. And in some spots along the line, there are believed to be side-by-side windows of vastly differing vibrational quality, each from a different dimensional time and energy flow. There's said to be a ley line triangle with the corners being Mount Scott by Crater Lake at the top of Mount Shasta and $8 Mountain in Oregon all joining together. Many of the lines intersect each other, and the points at which they cross are often in the more uninhabited wilderness and mountain areas. So the question becomes, what could happen at these spots? According to Tesla, to find the secrets, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. All matter is now known to be differing vibration or energy, whether animate or inanimate. It doesn't matter if we don't accept the Earth's floor is formed by these dynamic energy grids, but perhaps we should at least be aware of those that do and ours, as has been suggested, seeking to use them to their distinct advantage against us. Now, according to Gowan, those who know the ancient secrets of the Earth's energy systems are now able to control humanity by manipulating these natural features. Numerologist Ellis Taylor is explicit in his belief. Not only does satanic ritual of the elite take place on these energy lines, but this is inextricably linked to the disappearance and deaths of missing children in the UK. He claims to have identified patterns in these abductions and murders of children and teenagers over the last few decades that tie in with both occult dates, numerology, and ley lines. Now, the path of travel in these abductions and murder cases, he believes, are via ley lines that intersect ancient places of powerful black energy. His implication is that occult ritual sacrifice has been conducted to harness this black energy. And he ties the location of where they go missing in the location in which they're found to these lines and links them directly through lines that run through satanic places of worship, ancient sites. Even claims these lines directly lead to places that clearly indicate exactly who's involved in these murders. Now, his findings, of course, are controversial. You know, whether they're valid or not, certainly an argument for another day. But could there really be anything in his pieced-together pattern of lay energy and numerology and satanic ritual and the abduction murder of young people? David Icke is a believer of this pattern linking, and He'll openly say that those who are secretly in control of us are actually shapeshifters, and they need this negative energy of fear and pain to feed off of. That they actually need the population to feel anxious and fearful and scared and terrified in order for them to thrive is a claim that he has made for a number of years. In one of Ellis's abduction murder cases that he talked about, it was a young boy named Daniel Nolan. And he believes the black energy line runs through the Isle of Wight, crosses the ancient Stonehenge and the Severn Bridge, which is a notorious bridge used by suicides. Now, this may sound outlandish, but do these murders serve to energize the grid? Are the mass negative emotions and fears of people in the places, knowing an abduction has taken place and searching for the missing, are they caused by an occult cabal to create greater swaths of negative emotion to feed the grid and hence the entities that feed off the grid? Well, both Ellis and Icke agree that that is, in fact, the case. Icke claims that from evidences directly received from a number of people heavily entrenched in ritual and the occult and from people who've attended and participated in the ritual killings of children in these ceremonies, that this is all done for the purpose of harnessing greater powers of darkness to enable their ruling bloodline to continue and thrive. Now, are these theories told by people a sandwich short of a picnic? Or is there something to it? Now, let's go back a minute to the case of Daniel Nolan that I just mentioned. Over on mainland, across a 7-mile stretch of sea from the Isle of Wight, a teenage boy disappeared after a night fishing with his friends. This was in January 2002. They'd been fishing off the Hamble waterfront near Southampton. 14-year-old Daniel Nolan had fished many times there before. His main hobbies were fishing, canoeing, and swimming. He was a member of the Sea Scouts. When he didn't come home in the early hours of the morning, as he had promised, his mother got concerned and after a half hour went out herself to look for him. She knew where he'd be. She said she found only his fishing equipment, so she called the police, and by 4:30 in the morning, a search had begun. Sniffer dogs could pick up no scent of him. 5 teams of police divers and 2 Army sonar units were brought in, but they couldn't find any trace of him. Piecing together the events that led up to his disappearance, he left his friends at close to midnight after they all finished fishing, or they hung out up the street at the local shops. When they all decided to go home, he had to go back down to the waterfront to get his fishing gear. A year later, a lady was walking her dog in a scenic bay called Chapman's Pool near Swanage in Dorset, an entirely different community and over 40 miles away. She stumbled across a shocking sight. Washed up on the beach was a human foot, still wearing its shoe. DNA forensic analysis showed it was part of Daniel's body. Entitled experts were brought in to try to explain how that foot, still in the shoe and sock, had traveled 40 miles in the sea. It was determined his foot had come away from the body as a natural process. But speculation obviously grew. He could have been taken by somebody in a vehicle or onto a boat. His parents at the time of his disappearance were so convinced he was still alive and being held somewhere, they put up a 50,000-pound reward, which of course was never claimed. Well, we're going to talk more about ley lines and murders and disappearances in our next show. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for The Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great weekend.